Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Would You Date a Scientist? I am joined by Yanis Pitsilivius. How are you doing, Yanis?
Hello, Wendy. Nice to meet you. I'm very well. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm actually doing really well. I think yesterday was International Women's Day and it gave me a spark of something. I sat on a couple of panels and did lots of talking at people. but no, I feel really good today. I like to ask a second time, like, actually, how are you? Because I know it's pretty rubbish again. Things are going badly.
I know, just about before we come off COVID, now we have this Ukraine invasion. But yeah, it's so I would say the last 2 years, it's been very good for me. So one of the positives of COVID, so it's not all negatives.
Yep.
It helped companies, you know, understand that we don't need to be in the office all the time. So work from home, it's been very well for me. I kind of like to all my jobs, gym, anything else in the
washing.
Morning.
And then get the washing done.
yeah, the washing, the cleaning, and everything, the house works. And then work. So it's been good for me past 2 years. And I also wanted to comment on the Women's Day. I remember like 2.5 years ago, we used to have these events in London, Women in Tech, Women in Data.
Yep.
And I haven't seen any this year yet.
So, I think it's all virtually done now. So there's Women in Data Science, Women in Tech. I think those are coming back now. But yeah, it's been kind of virtual and quiet. Yeah. I'm going to link in the show notes, Women in Tech, Women in Data Science, anything else women that I can to support that. But yeah, they're really good, really good groups. And I certainly need to get to some of them. And men as well. Men come, support the women. okay, so you're lead data scientist at Endeavour. Can you talk me through your career so far?
Yeah. So I'll take it from the degree. So I studied business and management with a focus on information systems. But so when I finished, I joined, there was a friend I had from, she was like a year older. And she said, she was working in London. She said to me, look, I work for this consultancy and we do data management and analytics. You want to come work for us? So send the CV over. And then I luckily ended up working as a data analyst. I didn't know back then. So I remember as soon as they had the big accounts, this consultancy, so it was like Samsung, Microsoft and Citi. So I started at Microsoft as a data analyst. And then I was learning SQL. I loved it. They also had these internal trainings or where you had to complete like a data science-ish course. So I started learning R. And as I was doing the work, you know, day-to-day work, I started translating a lot of the tasks in R. And especially this, there was this machine learning model I didn't know back then in SPSS, so regression. So I was running it in SPSS, this regression model for predictions. But then I was like, okay, why don't we, instead of, you know, clicking, dragging, and dropping, why don't we translate this in code using R and machine learning? So I've done that. And then I just fell in love with SQL machine learning and R. And then I moved to Microsoft from Samsung. There I was doing SQL and Python. So again, machine learning models and analytics. After 2 years, Microsoft, I moved to Citi. So as I was moving, by the way, I had to take interviews and tests to join these firms before I go there.
I bet they're quite hefty as well at these kind of places, aren't they? Did you have like panel interviews and...
Correct. So it was like first round, there was like a test, then another round, and then... But no, I got It was interesting, you know, changing all these big firms. And then I think I've done like 6 months at Citibank. Again, it was SQL, Python, Power BI there. And now for the past 2 years plus in Endeavor, which is, again, the same. It's analytics, SQL, Python, machine learning, and a lot of BI. So I think last 3 or 4 years, there's a lot of BI out there. So yep. Power BI or Tableau is growing massively. I don't know where it sits in analytics or science. I love using them, though.
It's great. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot on the engineering side, isn't it, the Power BI?
I don't know. Places I've been, BI is on science and analytics, not
okay.
Engineering.
My friend Helen, I know she's learning at the moment. She's a data engineer. I mean, she just wants to learn everything, so you're probably right. Literally, she's like, I can do that. I'm going to do it. And she does it.
I work with engineers on a daily basis. They are creating the data models that feed these visualization tools.
Sure.
But the whole building and creating of the dashboards, I think, is analysts and scientists, especially if you have predictions in there, machine learning models and right. Predictions. It's the tool we use to, you know, show our results to the stakeholders.
Got you. Okay. Yeah. That's good. Got it. Okay. So you've been doing a lot. So you said that you've kind of fell into it. Was there anything that you struggled with your data science journey? Was there, you know, because this podcast, for those who don't know, is for people who want to get into data science, either through academia, which we'll talk a bit about later, or wanting to pivot from the current role. And I, as a recruiter and a business and a career coach, I speak to a lot of people who want to do just that, pivot into a new role. So were there any struggles that you had?
Yes. So my main struggle was, you know, there are a lot of machine learning models out there and all of them work differently. So I thought, in order to be called like a data scientist, to know how to, you know, run these models, I need to understand every single bit of their background, how they work, the maths. So I've started, you know, like naive Bayes, you can understand the maths, it's easier, statistics, then regression, yes, you can understand, logistic, yes. But then as you move on to more complex models, writing down the formulas and the maths, it's very, very, I wouldn't say it's difficult if you're only doing that, but if you need to learn all these different models, then it's like, it's a challenge. So that was like my challenge, you know, learning these models. I remember, so I even like, I think I don't think, I enrolled in like a master's in data science or like distance learning. So I took all the models that had to do with machine learning, maths and stats. And then I didn't take anything else. So I didn't finish it. I think I completed about half of it, only the machine learning stuff, to understand them. But even today, so what I've realized, I don't fully remember the maths for all models, but I know how, if I have to use them, I go on Google, I quickly, you know, run through them, remember the maths, and then I run them. But that was my only struggle. I think the code, everything is on Google. So any challenge you have, you can quickly Google it. It's going to be there. I think that was it. That was one of my challenges.
Brilliant. You're right. There's so much open source code on Google. Everybody's very helpful in sharing that with you. Okay, so let's talk about your academic life. So you did your, as you said, you started doing a distance learning master's. And I mean, I started doing a distance learning degree in IT and computing when my daughter was born a very long time ago. And I couldn't do that. I got to C++. And then I was like, I can't get it. Don't get it. And then I stopped. But, you know, for the people listening to this podcast, how do those people with degrees that aren't necessarily relevant, maybe they've got a master, Bachelor of Arts or something like that, how can they break into data analytics or data science?
Okay, very interesting question. So quickly to address my case, so the reason I started and then stopped the master's is because I was doing it whilst working.
Yep.
So I was already getting very good experience running machine learning in Python versus someone teaching me how to run machine learning in Python.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's why I just said I'll take all machine learning and then I'll skip the rest.
Okay.
Now for people who, you know, they don't have relevant degrees, I would suggest taking online courses, but not the lengthy ones, as in MSc's 2 years. I mean, they can take those, but you can quickly understand, like, you can quickly take those smaller courses in Coursera, Udemy, yep. EDX has free courses. So you have something to put on your CV because, you know, you have your education section on CV. I think it's important to have something, maths or engineering or information systems or computer science, something that signifies you know how to handle, you know, computers and softwares and maths. And then the other thing I suggest is building up your portfolio in GitHub. This is like, I find it, as a lead data scientist, I'm also involved in interviews. So the first thing I look in CVs is if they have a GitHub page where I can go and see
that. That's interesting. That's interesting.
So skim read their CV, you know, where they've studied, what they've studied, but I never ask any university questions or any university projects. I'm going to ask questions on their GitHub page. So I open their GitHub and I look for, if it's a junior, Excel analytics or Excel dashboards, SQL queries, like do they know how to clean data or manipulate data in SQL? And then I go through their Python scripts. Most of people only have Python or R scripts, and they only have machine learning. But other things like data cleaning or simple statistics are also important. So I try to look through those. And some people also have visualizations there, like Power BI or Tableau. Like if a person has this, Excel I don't need as much, but SQL, Python visualizations, Power BI or Tableau, they are already like on the top of the list because they know half, not half, they know 80% of the job they're going to be doing, you know, assuming they get the role. So I highly recommend people to build up their GitHub pages.
That's really, really interesting. I've always said to people to have a GitHub. I started to do my own and I was like, oh, it's not easy.
I know.
It's not easy. So yeah, so I mean, I think I'm quite correct on that. I've not got anything on there. It's blank. But yeah, that's really interesting that's where you go to. It makes perfect sense. And as I've said many times, I don't think CVs work necessarily. You know, they've still got a place, but something like that, it's amazing. So you can actually see what you're doing. Or can you have things on there where you've made a mistake and then rectified it? Yeah, so that's important to have.
Correct. So you have all the notebook. So if you go through the notebook, the code, you can actually see the process of how someone thinks and then the mistakes they make and then how they fix it on the next cell and the next cell. So it's the whole process. It doesn't have to be like a perfect machine learning model or a perfect like piece of code with all the best practices, but at least if I can see, you know, how you think when it comes to solving data problems, then yes, that's going to put you ahead of, you know, competition or everyone else.
Absolutely.
On your first point, like it doesn't, you know, all those courses you take online, you have to build something or write some code, document that, put it on GitHub. Same way with YouTube, right? You go through a tutorial, you follow it, then document that, and then save the code in GitHub. Same way with Excel, same way with dashboards. You just, it's like, you know how the artists, they used to have their portfolio with, I don't know, their pictures or their like work. It's exactly the same in data science. Now you can, you know, share your portfolio of projects and people can go there and see your work.
Do you think that in many years' time, somebody, when a brilliant data scientist dies, then the first piece of code will be really expensive and you can buy it like an NFT? Like
NFT, there you go. Yeah, you can make it an NFT and then you can sell it.
That's mad.
We are not as, we are not as commercial as artists and their work, but maybe yet. One day, who knows? Yet, okay, I really like that.
Yet. Yeah. Well, so that's really good advice. Thanks very much. What's the worst piece of advice you've ever received?
What's the worst piece of advice? Oh my God.
There's a lot of it floating around.
Yes. Well, I think this is a common mistake that especially juniors do when they want to break in data science. When you say to someone, I want to become a data scientist, first thing everyone thinks of is AI. So they are saying to you, you need to learn how to use deep learning and neural nets and convolutional neural nets and all these very advanced audio, video, image analytics, which like if in the corporate world, we don't really use those almost never. We use some NLP, yes, natural language processing, but those image and audio and video analytics, not that much. But it's very silly, right? It's very, because people see these YouTube videos and where they mention AI and how we analyze stuff, and they look very cool. Self-driving cars, they look very cool, but it's not good advice to jump straight there or even jump at all if that's not what you're going to be doing at work. I would just say stick to the basics. Not very basics, but yeah, it's going to be Excel, SQL, Python or R, and then visualization tools. That's the best piece of advice. The worst piece is go straight into deep learning.
Yeah, I just want to jump in about self-driving cars, right? I am never going to drive a self-driving car, because if that, like things break, okay? Things break. And if that self-driving bit breaks, then you're screwed. Like,
correct. It's dangerous. But they have, I don't know, I do trust to an extent technology, because they do have all these error checks in place. In case it fails, then it's going to, I assume it's going to warn you, put your hands on the wheel, you know, be prepared, it's going to stop driving itself.
I suppose so, yeah.
There's not as many accidents as people make.
Human error, right?
Yes, exactly. Why not? I mean, I'm with you. I don't agree with full self-driving cars. Yeah. I still want, you know, a wheel and a person sitting there. But I've driven... I have some experience with them. They are amazing.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so good.
I mean, I've used cruise control. I mean, that's halfway there, isn't it?
I would say if you cruise control with like automatically lowering the speed or accelerating, or also like taking maybe that's too far, changing lanes. That's a lot there with just that. It's very, you know, especially when the car in front of you starts, you know, braking and you're just, I don't know, listening music, you're not paying attention, the self-driving car is going to, you know, automatically lower and adjust the speed, not stop, but, you know, adjust the speed. So that's like, in terms of safety, it's actually very good.
Yeah. Okay. I might have to reconsider my absolutely not to a maybe.
it depends. If you're like a person who like is a petrolhead, loves cars, never gonna like, you know, this self-driving thing, but we can like both, right?
I love driving. I love, like, I'm not a petrol head, but driving is so much fun. But I suppose you can incorporate that. We've gone off on a tangent, haven't we?
Yeah, exactly.
That's fine. Okay, so right, what are there any sectors in data science that you would not work in? Not asked this question for a while.
So I don't have experience, commercial experience with, as I said before, deep learning, video, audio, and image analytics. I've only done a few projects at my master's, but that's about it. Now, having said that, it's not that I would turn down a job doing that, but I would make sure I say to, you know, the people that I don't have commercial experience, I'm still willing to join and learn. So, no, I would join any data science, jobs.
Okay, that's interesting. And what you mentioned the projects that you worked on. What are your favorite ones? What's your favorite project?
So I would say the favorite one is the projects which is they involve more than just one machine learning model. As in, I had these projects that were combining so much data from different sources that each of those data sets or different points of data, they require their own machine learning model. So from their outcome, I built a new raw data table, which has the predictions of other machine learning models. And then on top of it, I built more machine learning models. So in essence, composite machine learning models projects are my favorite projects.
It's like Inception.
yes. Well, it's because they are not as straightforward. So they require a lot of thinking and there is no right or wrong way of doing things. You have to get creative. So those are the ones I like the most.
Okay, perfect. And is there a project that you'd like to do? Is there something that you've thought of that, oh, that'd be really interesting to do, I'd love to do it, or there's a place that this needs to be done?
Well, predicting the stocks would be a good start.
Absolutely, yeah.
But many have tried. no, but it's gonna have to be something obviously is one of my interests. So maybe something with space or SpaceX, or cryptos or NFTs. Now that you've mentioned them, I'm very into NFTs. I haven't bought anything, but I find them extremely interesting.
So So I'm a photographer as well, and I've got so many, and I'm not blowing my own trumpet, but I'm pretty good. So many amazing photos from when we used to go raving.
Okay.
with like so many lights in the background. They're like, honestly, they're really good. So I'm going to convert those into NFTs and make them a bit better.
Yeah, to make your own library and your own project. And
yeah.
I don't know how we can use analytics and data science on top of it, there must be a way. I'm very consumed with so I have my YouTube channel, which takes most of my time and then work.
What's your YouTube channel? We'll put it in the show notes here, and this is also going on there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's called Data 360 YP, so my name, Yanis Pitsilidis. That takes away most of my time, I haven't really thought of one single project I want to do. What's yours? What do you think?
My photography, probably. I love it and I still do it. And I do raver tots. So like all the people we used to go raving with are now parents, and now they take their children. And that was at Ministry of Sound at the weekend. And it was so good, so well run. And the photos are just Brilliant. And I love it. That's my favorite project is photography. I need to do more of it.
With COVID, how did that affect your photography?
Awful. So I bought a new 5D Mark III for just before COVID hit, which was quite expensive, and didn't get a chance to use it until 2 years later.
Oh, okay. You can go crazy now.
Yes.
Start going outside taking pictures. But hey, NFTs are going to be a big thing. So that if you can somehow, sell it, could be good.
Yeah. I definitely need to do it. I've got the work. I've got the crypto. I've got the platform. I just need to just do it. Yeah. That's going to be my new project.
And then let me know. Maybe we can have some analytics. I don't know how we can use it, but we can look into it.
Brilliant. So what's Data Science going to look like in the future? I used to say, what's Data Science going to look like in 10 years? And then I said 5 years. And now I'm like, nope, just a little bit in the future. What's it going to look like to you?
Okay. What's it going to look like? Let's think. So if you look at, the past to predict the future, we have, new tools coming up and then going down. So I think SQL or relational language is going to be there in the future. I don't think that's going to change, but maybe the machine learning is going to change. I don't believe in AutoML. I mean, I want to. I go to all these calls. I'm trying to listening, trying to use them.
Yeah.
But I still prefer to write the code down myself. So I don't know to what extent AutoML is going to work in the future.
There's still going to be a certain amount of writing the code, isn't there? It's just like you said, the more complex code, algorithm, maybe it'll be for that. But yeah, I'm...
What do you think? Have you used them?
No, I haven't used them.
Okay.
No. It's not me.
When you go to all... I did go to a lot of their, they have like this online webinars where you can join and watch... So they say it's not for, everyone can run machine learning now. You don't have to be a data scientist, but then everyone on the call is a data scientist. I mean, if you're trying to sell this to non-data science people, then try and ask other people to run it and see if, they can do it.
Without exactly that.
Yeah. Going off road. In the future, I think what's changing, what I see, it's how we move to big data tools in the cloud. So things like how you manage your clusters and how much CPU and GPU your clusters are going to use.
Sure.
Are you distributing your code or not? What else? I think those two are a big thing now. Yeah, and the last thing I'm asking is like, it's a platform where it can be both a database and run Python or R at the same time, because at the moment everything is split into you have to move data around. All the tools I know, I don't know if there is a tool where you can do both at the same time, but that's going to be, I think, the next revolutionary thing is going to be a platform where you have your database, so your tables or the raw data, engineers are working on them, updating them, and then you can write SQL and Python on the same, UI, not having to shift data to another tool. And then
that's really back. That's good. I mean, make it.
No, I'm not a developer.
Well, you've come up with the idea. Patent that now. So I'd like to talk about diversity and ethics. We're having a good old chat here. Let's talk about diversity. So how diverse is your data science experience been?
When I initially about 8 years ago, I think it was about, if we are looking at gender, it was about 80% male, 20% female. Then in about 3 years ago, I would say it was probably 100% male.
Okay.
And then this, this, in this, this, in this, pl- place I am now, it's 50-50. It's really good. In data science, in data engineering, it's 99% male. Well, based, you know, it depends where you've been, right? So that's just the places I've been.
Yep.
And it's not because of a lack of trying. There is a lot of push to find, to diversify.
Yep.
But we don't have as many applications.
I think there's a lack of data engineers, full stop, at the moment.
Yes, in that, you're right.
Yeah, lack of data engineers, full stop, lack of female data engineers. I'm not sure why. It's a really difficult one. As somebody who recruits data engineers, I have struggled myself to find diversity in applicants, and I pride myself in having job specs that have got female-centric words as well as male-centric words, so that it's going for everybody. I put my job descriptions out in a lot of different places, and you know, I get a good mix of people applying for my roles, but not for data engineers.
I don't
know if it's just not as sexy. People don't know that it's there. It's really tricky.
I don't know if people don't know it's there. It's like, it's a very good job. It's paying very well, data engineering. But I don't see, like, we are trying to, you know, to be as balanced as possible. On some areas we succeed, some areas we don't. But for data analytics and data science, you can definitely get like a 50-50 in the team. So when you recruit data scientists, what is the mix you find?
I mean, I go looking for them. So it's good. I do have applications, but I'm more of a headhunter. So I do go looking for them, and I know where to go to find a diverse mix of people, you know. And I've got, you know, my network's amazing, especially after doing this podcast. So I have a really good outcome of that. But data engineering is just so tricky.
I would say, even in data science and analytics, the applications are still mostly 60-70% male. But if you want to be diverse, you can find. In engineering, I don't know. I think I've only met in person two female data engineers.
Okay.
So
interestingly enough, there are lots of reasons why you're going to be getting more men apply for your positions than women. And I've said this a lot before, women generally find, you'll find that women will only apply for a position if they can do 100% of everything on there.
Yes, I've read this stat somewhere.
And people are putting on their job descriptions everything that they need. And it would be like, nobody can do all of those things. And men are more like, I can do 50% of it, I'm applying. So it's changing women's mindsets, which I can help with, and also changing hiring managers' mindsets to change their wording on the job description. And also, you know, using recruiters, I know we are such a good partner for companies. We go and we find people for you, and people give us a bad name. I know that, and that's why I'm doing things ethically and trying to disrupt the market. But we are such a good partnership, especially in a market like this. I think, anyway, that just wanted to set that. So, right, there's lots and lots of billionaires in this world that I don't think should be there, that, you know, having the money, not them not doing it. Do you think that they could build I can never get this question flowing. Do you think they could build an evil supervillain to try and take over the world? Could they do that? Are they doing that? How are we going to stop them if they are? And what punishment are we going to give them?
Oh my God, what is this question? So to save us all, we're going to call Baby Yoda on...
Yeah, I've got Baby Yoda up here. So it's, this question started because of Paul Rudd. Not watching. So I used to say, if they could build an evil Ant-Man, Like, and then how are we going to stop them? Thinking that we haven't, if we've got an Ant-Man, we haven't got Avengers. So nobody's got time to build anything to stop that. What we, that's how my brain works.
So I don't think billionaires will be able to build this. Well, but they can if they want, tech-wise. But I think still governments do control everything. Because look at now, we have so many billionaires, and look at what's happening with, you know, Ukraine, yeah, and Russia.
Yeah.
So this is
power hungry people.
What's Elon Musk is like doing something. I mean, he's helping with Starlink, but that's about it. No other billionaire said anything. They I don't know. They don't care, or they don't mind, or so I don't know. Yeah, if they are able to build this super villain. No, even if they do, I do believe in humanity. I still think we're going to manage to, you know, somehow battle it.
Yeah.
I'm just
thinking of the point you've made about the billionaires not saying anything about the war. And I'm actually quite sad about it.
Yeah, it's only, well, who said? It's just Elon Musk. I haven't seen any. I follow a few of them.
Yeah.
But to be fair, like all these like Facebook, Twitter, Coca-Cola, McDonald's, they've stopped. They're trying to do something, but they're only harming the people from both sides. They're not really, yeah, it's always the people they're going to pay. And that's the, you know, the sad thing, the unfortunate thing. Like, you know, stopping operations in a country, it's only going to stop their jobs, people work there, they you know, they are revving their money, they're coming in, their salaries.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh. Yeah, this billionaires, I don't know.
I just want to say that I support the Ukraine, and I support everybody that doesn't want the war, because a lot of Russians don't want it. So, you know, let's be kind to everybody and put ourselves in their shoes and help where we can.
Completely agree with you. Yeah.
So have you got anything on that note? Have you got anything that you'd like to plug?
On that note, do I have anything to add on? I think, no, I think we did try to help people out there, you know, how they can prepare if they want to go into data science. If there is anything they need to keep from this interview, it's the, you know, build up your GitHub pages, you know, try and learn as much as possible, document it so you can show it to people, and then you can start your data science journey. That's it.
Amazing.
It's been very enjoyable. This is my first podcast, by the way. I don't know how I've done it.
Bravo!
So it's been really good. So and it's also great to see, you know, people making these podcasts for data scientists and data analysts, so helping the community as much as possible. It's been great. Thank you.
Thanks, Yanis. Take care.